Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Hello and welcome to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast and the ministry of God's Word. We trust that the Lord will bless us as we consider His precious Word today. Let's unite our hearts together in a word of prayer and pray for His blessing upon the service just now. Our gracious and eternal Heavenly Father, we come to Thee in Jesus' blessed and His worthy name. We thank You for the one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We thank You that we have acceptance with Thee, forgiveness with Thee. We thank You, Lord, that we have acceptance and an audience with Thee through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we rejoice that He is our Saviour, our Redeemer, our Master and our King. We thank You, Lord, especially for His work upon Calvary's cross. We thank You that there He took our sins in His own body to the tree, and He died, the one who was just, the one who was holy, the one who knew no sin, did no sin, neither was there any deceit in His mouth. We thank You that He bore our sins in His own body to the tree, that we might live unto God. We pray that Thou wilt bless the ministry of Thy word this day. We thank You that it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And Father, we graciously ask of Thee that Thou wilt attend to the ministry of Thy word with the power of the Holy Spirit, and make it live in the hearts of those that hear it. Bless the work of Let the Bible Speak. We pray that its ministry will be used of God to the extension of Christ's kingdom. We ask this in Jesus' blessed and his worthy name. Amen. Amen. Our Bible reading today is from John's Gospel and the third chapter, John chapter 3. And we are reading the Word of God together from verse 1 and reading the first 16 verses of this portion of God's Word. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen, and may the Lord bless the public reading of his inspired word to our hearts for his own name's sake. We're going to have our second hymn now. It's entitled, There is a Fountain Filled with Blood. The first verse reads, There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. My text for today is found in verse 14 and 15 of John chapter 3. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. John chapter 3 records one of the greatest encounters and personal interviews that the Lord Jesus Christ ever had with any individual. When Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a ruler, and a teacher of the Jews, came to Jesus by night, under the cover of darkness and secrecy, he came to quiz the Lord Jesus about his person and ministry. As you read the account, you discover that it contains a clear declaration. On three occasions, in verses 3, 5, and 7, the Lord declares to Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again. If you ever want to enter the kingdom of heaven, your Phariseeism, your religion, your morality, your sympathy toward me is not enough. You must be born again." That message rings true today as much as it did in the days of Nicodemus. If you ever want to be in the kingdom of God, then you must be born again. Not only is there a clear declaration, there is evident confusion. Because in verses 4 and 9, Nicodemus quizzed the Lord as to what he actually meant. In verse 4, he asked the question, "How can a man be born when he is old?" Thinking the Lord was speaking about being physically born again. We wonder how a mature and educated man like Nicodemus could come up with such a question or even think the Lord was speaking in such terms. But it's evident that he was confused as to what the Lord meant when he told him he needed to be born again. In verse 9, he asked the question again, even after the Lord had given a brief explanation about the nature of the new birth. Nicodemus asked the question, "How can these things be?" And so it is all these years later that men and women are still confused. Maybe they hear this term, born again, but they don't really know and understand what it actually means. And if that describes you, then you're just like Nicodemus. Thank God the Lord did not leave Nicodemus in his state of confusion. He was a genuine seeker, and in genuinely seeking the Lord, the Saviour gave him an answer. And the Lord will reveal it to you. He will show you exactly what you need and exactly what it entails to be born again. And from the verses that follow, from verse 9 and 10 onwards, the Lord begins to explain the basis upon which a man can be born again. And it is what I have described as a simple clarification. Because the Lord Jesus took an Old Testament historical account and he used it to illustrate to Nicodemus how an individual and on what grounds an individual can be born again and experience the new birth. The illustration I'm referring to is recorded in our text as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. The children of Israel had been plagued by snakes or serpents for their sin against the Lord. The serpents had bitten many. They were dying of poison there in the wilderness and crying unto Moses. The Lord gave the answer. He told Moses to make a serpent of brass, to lift it upon a pole, to set it up in the camp. And when the children of Israel would look upon it, they would be healed. And so the Lord declares, "Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal and everlasting life." From this illustration the Lord uses, I want to set before you three very simple gospel truths from Christ and the serpent. The first thing I want you to notice is there is a representation. The work of Christ is represented or illustrated by the serpent of brass in the days of Moses. As I have already explained, the children of Israel, because of their rebellion against God, were plagued by serpents in the camp. They were dying in the camp. And Moses made this serpent of brass and set it up. And I'm saying to you from our text, that serpent of brass, according to the Lord Jesus, is a representation, a likeness, a figure of the work that the Lord Jesus Christ would perform for sinners. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And there you see it very clearly. There you have it very plainly. The Lord Jesus and his work is being likened to that serpent of brass. It is a representation of him. But why a serpent? It seems a strange figure. The serpent in the Bible is usually associated with the serpent and the devil, because the devil used the serpent to tempt Adam and Eve to sin. But consider this. The serpent is also associated with the curse. When sin entered into the world, the serpent was cursed of God in Genesis 3 and 14. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, cursed art thou above all cattle. And so the serpent is associated with the curse that came into the world for sin, because of sin. Brass in the Bible is the symbol of judgment. The brazen altar in the temple, it was made of brass. There, the Old Testament sacrifices were offered. The animals were slain. The blood was shed. And it was a symbol of God's judgment for sin. Death came into the world because of sin. And there on the brazen altar, the sacrifice was put to death in judgment for sin. The lifting up, of course, speaks of death. There's a beautiful hymn, Lifted Up. Was he to die? It is finished, was his cry. Now in heaven exalted high. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Now you put those three things together, and you have a beautiful presentation of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ for sinners. When Christ died, he took the curse of his people. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He bore the judgment and the punishment for our sin. He died for our sins. Christ died for our sins. And he took our judgment from the Father when he was lifted up to die. Do you see that this symbol, this likeness, this representation, it sets forth the very essence, the very substance of the gospel. Christ died for our sins. He was a substitutionary, vicarious, atoning sacrifice. When he died upon the cross, he did so to pay our debt, to put away our sin, to satisfy divine justice. And he died for the benefit of sinners who were under the curse, that we might be saved from the effects of sin and from the judgment and punishment of sin. Lifted up to die as our substitutionary sacrifice. We thank God for the work of Christ. It's the only means, the only grounds upon which a man or woman can ever experience the new birth. But there's not only a representation in this verse. There is a requirement. In fact, there are a number of requirements set forth in these verses. There was a requirement for the Son of Man to be lifted up. Do you see it there? As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. It refers to the cross. Jesus Christ could not have atoned for our sins by any other death than the death of the cross. It was God's appointed means and God's appointed way. When the devil tempted him to throw himself off the pinnacle of the temple, the devil was seeking to have Christ put to death in a way that would not be a means of atoning for our sin. He had to be. He must be lifted up. He must die the death of the cross if sinners are to be reconciled to God, saved from their sin. There's another requirement. Sinners must look to Christ. As the children of Israel had to look to the serpent on the pole, so it is a requirement if you are ever to have your sins forgiven. You must look unto him. But it's really the requirement upon Moses that I want you to see as we make this point. For it says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Moses, of course, was the prophet of the Lord. Israel, the Israelites were dying in their sin from that serpent bite. The only remedy that God gave in those circumstances was the serpent upon the pole. Moses must therefore lift it up. He must set it before them in the camp where they could see it and look upon it. And if Moses was required as the prophet of the Lord to lift up that serpent in the wilderness, it reminds us and sets forth to us the responsibility of every gospel minister. We must lift up the Lord Jesus Christ by the ministry of the gospel. We must set him forth before man in his atoning, substitutionary work upon the cross as the only grounds and means whereby a sinner can be converted or be saved, the only grounds whereby a man or woman can ever be born again. Christ crucified is the only remedy for sin, and it's the preacher's responsibility to hold him forth before the people, to expound him from the word of God, to set him before men and women. That's what the Lord has charged his ministers to do. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, he declared, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." There's a woe upon me. I've been called, I've been commissioned, and if I don't preach the gospel, then the woe of the Lord will be upon me. He said in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 17, "Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." While the sacraments must be observed and they have their place, they are not as important as the preaching of the gospel. And the gospel minister must hold forth Christ in his preaching ministry and lift him up. Let me say this very sincerely and genuinely. The gospel minister is not a social worker. He is not an entertainer. He is not even a counselor. He is one who is called to preach the message and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and set him forth before man. There's not only a representation and a requirement in these verses, there is a reality. Verse 15, "Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Moses called the people in the wilderness, "Look unto the serpent of brass. Look unto it and you will be saved and delivered." Looking in the Bible is a picture of faith. "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God." Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. By looking to the serpent, the Israelites were trusting in what God said would remedy their situation. And it did so. And so everyone that looks by faith to Jesus Christ and his atoning work upon the cross of Calvary, in reality, have eternal life. Their sins are forgiven. They're reconciled to God. They are born again of the Spirit of God. They become a member of God's kingdom. And when they die, they will enter the kingdom of God. Have you been born again? Are you trusting in the work of the cross? And when you do, simultaneously, you will be born again of the Spirit of God. Let's unite our hearts together in prayer. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the work of our Lord Jesus Christ as he carried it out on the cross of Calvary. We thank you that he took our curse. He bore our shame. He paid our debt. He bore our punishment, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but in reality and for eternity have everlasting and eternal life. Bless thy word to all of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.